Those of you watching online or at another campus, my name is Austin. I am one of the pastors here at The Creek, and I'm excited today to share a little bit with you in our Foolproof series. Before we get into the content today, I want to share a quick story with you that I wish I wasn't going to be sharing because it doesn't make me look the best, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. My wife, Jessie, and I, we've been married for 18 years this month. Give it up for that. I'm all for it. That stuff ain't easy, man. That stuff ain't easy. That's whoever started that. Yeah, I feel you. That ain't easy. But we've been married for 18 years. We got three little girls. And something happened to us early on in our relationship, early on in our marriage. As a matter of fact, it was like probably year two, to the best of my knowledge. We had this Saturday where, you know, we had just packed the day full. You know how that happens sometimes? Like you get there and you get Saturday and you look at what you got going on. You're like, why did we do all this? Like, why did we schedule all this? Because I would love to just be at home resting, that kind of thing. So we had one of those days, if you can kind of get in that headspace with me. So it's like, okay, we got to go do all these things. We got obligations. We got some work to do. We got some things we've said we'd come to. So we go and we do all this. And because of poor planning and just kind of letting it happen to us, we missed eating lunch. And then now it was like 7 o'clock. We hadn't had dinner. So you guys have heard of hangry, right? Right. Okay. So hangry probably, you know, it's probably a real thing. But anyway, so we're getting hangry. And normally, you know, my wife is really disciplined, and because I'm going to say this is her because it really is, it's not me. But normally, we're pretty disciplined about, like, we don't eat out, you know, we don't eat junk, whatever. Again, that's her influence on me because I'd be eating all the fudge rounds in the world if I was allowed to. Okay, so anyway. So this particular night, we're like, you know what? We're hungry. We're probably hangry. Like, we just got to get something. And I remembered in my mind, oh, they just built this new fast food restaurant up on the north end of town. This was over in Somerset. And I was like, let's go there. Let's just run through real quick. We'll grab something, get home, eat. You know, life will be good again. You know, get a little bit of food in our belly. And so we go to this restaurant. I don't want to name it. Let's call it Hamburger Queen. So we go there to Hamburger Queen, and I get up to the thing, and you know how guys are, right? So like I order, and there's something you need to know about me at this point in the story that's really, really gonna be significant, and that is I believe onions are of the devil. Amen, come on. They need to go back to hell where they came from. That's how I feel about onions. Now, especially a raw onion. It's one thing if it's cooked, you know, like you've just sucked all the life out of it and it's just a limp little onion sliver. Fine, that doesn't bother me. But a raw onion, man, if it's touched something, that stank is on there and you ain't getting it off, okay? There's plenty of things that I don't like, but I can scrape it off and still eat it. A raw onion? No, can't do it. Can't do it, okay? It's just me. I just, for whatever reason, that's my thing. I can't do onions. So we're here, we're at the drive-thru. And I'm like, I'd like to order two cheeseburgers and fries and a drink, you know, whatever it was. And Jessie, in her wisdom, said, make sure you tell them no onions. And me, in my wisdom, I said, they don't put onions on them here. Woman, come on. You're not up with the Hamburger Queen, you know, situation. You need to get on my level here. So We go through the drive-thru, we smell it, you know, it's like, oh man, we're getting hungry. We get to the house, we go to our little countertop bar there, and we're like, I'm unpacking stuff, I'm like just ready to eat. She's beside me, and as soon as I pull the thing out of the bag, I can smell them. The radar is already going off, you know, it's like warning, this is not gonna be good, okay? So like my blood begins to boil. It was probably already here anyway after the day, but. So I'm like, no, surely not. Surely these idiots, this restaurant, didn't do this to me today. And I opened the thing up, covered with raw onions. And so I did the only thing that a mature, grown man could do in that situation. I punched the hamburger really hard and flattened it into a pancake. I lost my cool a little bit. In the moment, you know, I let it rise. I let it overflow. And now I'm out here making hamburger pancakes. And Jesse's looking at me like, are you okay? How old are you, bro? You just punched a hamburger. I mean, that's pretty, even right now, as a 38-year-old, that's pretty weird for me to stand up here and admit in front of you guys. That once upon a time, I got so angry at a hamburger that I punched it. Silly, right? It doesn't make sense. But the truth is, we all have had moments like that, haven't we? We've had those moments where, you know, tensions start getting high and the emotions rise and we let our emotions take control and then we do something or we say something we regret and we wish we could take it back, but it's too late. We've already done the stupid, foolish, ignorant thing that we wish we hadn't, because it got the best of us. And the it I'm talking about here is anger. Anger got the best of us. It does sometimes, doesn't it? See, anger, it's a universal experience. We've all been in situations where our tempers got ignited and you know, things didn't go the way we wanted. Maybe somebody made a rude comment, or you were betrayed by a friend or by a loved one, or you know, when you get stuck in traffic, we begin to experience this anger that rises up. Now, there's some of you who like to believe, and you even tell people that you never feel it. You never get angry. You never, you know, you're just not that kind of person. Bull. That's all I'm going to say about that. We all experience anger. We all experience anger, and sometimes I think we want to push that away and not allow that to be part of our story or part of our label, because we have a misunderstanding of anger in and of itself as sin. And in reality, anger by itself is not sin. It actually has incredibly valuable potential for you to help you in your life. But we don't like to attach ourselves to anger. But we all have it. We all experience it. We all have those moments where, you know, it boils over and we just do something or say something stupid. And we know it immediately. We wish we could take it back, but we can't. And that is a bad place to find ourselves, isn't it? And that's a really bad place to live our life in. We all experience anger, but here's the thing. How we handle our anger has a profound effect on our lives and the lives of those we love. And that's why we would take a whole Sunday and talk about this. It's so important, because the way we decide to handle our anger, remember, anger is not a sin. We're all going to experience it. When it arises, though, it's the way we decide to handle it that's going to have a profound effect on your life, my life, but perhaps even more motivationally, the lives of those that we love and care about the most. It's going to have a profound impact. We've seen this play out, haven't we? We've seen families torn apart because of how someone responds to their anger. We've seen relationships restored. We've seen friendships ruined. We've seen murder, literally. We've seen this play out over and over around us. Now, again, I'm talking about a person who is not able to handle their anger. A person who just reacts in those moments, rather than responding. And anger is one thing, right? And I mentioned a little bit there that, you know, anger is not necessarily a sin. As a matter of fact, Scripture says, be angry and sin not. It also has some examples of Jesus getting pretty angry. Some of you guys like to call it frustration, but hey, what's the difference? It's all the same, right? Jesus wasn't angry. He was frustrated. Okay, fine. He was frustrated. But there's some great examples of Jesus being angry and how he dealt with those situations, how he responded to the anger. So there's anger, but then there's something else. It's like a category all to its own that some of us fall into, and that is being angry. It's one thing to have something pop up that makes you angry. You feel anger. It's another thing to be an angry person. You understand the difference? You see what I'm saying? It's one thing, you know, everybody gets angry from time to time. It's a whole nother thing. It's a whole other thing to be an angry person. And that's what we're really, really talking about today. We're talking about those of us who, if we're honest with ourselves, we just carry a lot of anger. You may have different names for it. You may call it different things. It may look different ways for you. But at the end of the day, you carry a lot of anger. Maybe you have no idea why it's there. Maybe it's been there as long as you can remember. We're carrying it around. I know there's many of us here and watching online and at our other campuses in that situation. We've made it a part of our identity. We've made it a part of who we are. And so because how you handle anger has such a profound impact on your life and the life of those you love, for the sake of your life and for the sake of the lives of those you love, I want to ask you a question. Do you handle your anger, or does your anger handle you? I want you to ask yourself that question. I want you to consider it truthfully and honestly. Do you handle your anger, or does your anger handle you? I'm going to say something you really don't like. What if you were to ask the people closest to you that question about yourself? What would they say? What would they say? And if you're already kind of wincing, it's probably a pretty good indication. What would the people around you say about how you handle your anger? Some of you are pushing back right now, I know, because I've been there, I've done it. It's like, nah, dude, I'm just frustrated. You know, here it is again, here's that word. I feel safer using the word frustrated. Okay, fine. You're frustrated, okay? But what's the difference? You're angry, you're frustrated. You're angry, okay? You just are. Some of you would benefit from hearing some words that greatly benefited me at a point in my life when I began to realize that I was out of control to a certain degree, that I had an issue with how I was responding to feelings of anger. And I began to do something about it. I began to research. I began to have conversations. I began seeing a clinical psychologist. I still see a counselor to this day. I began doing something about it. And there was one guy who said something, a guy that I respect, who said something that really, really marked me profoundly, and I think it may be beneficial for some of us here in the room and watching online and at our other campuses today. He said, if you're getting angry, legitimately angry to the point where you're responding poorly, like more than one or two times a week, you're emotionally immature and you need to get yourself under control. And what that did, you're emotionally immature and you need to get that under control. What that did for me is it shifted my mindset. It shifted my mindset to a place where now this is a weakness of mine. Me bulking up and getting angry and hulking out, although it seems tough and masculine, it's an extreme weakness and vulnerability. Because I was allowing other people to control my actions. I was allowing other people to irritate me to the point that I would say something I shouldn't say, that I would do something I shouldn't do. I'd just snap, just a little bit. Maybe it was just a smart aleck comment. Maybe it was a door slam. Maybe it was punching a hole in the drywall. I've never done that. Any drywall hole punchers, anybody brave enough to admit it? Somewhere along the way, you've punched a hole in the drywall? Yeah, baby. That's job security for those mud guys. But I knew in that moment, I have to take control of this. I have to get this under control. Because this is a major vulnerability for me. This is a major vulnerability. If I can't control myself, if somebody allows somebody to just push my buttons that easily, how weak is that, man? That ain't tough. That's actually kind of pitiful. And it's pretty childish. Because when that anger manifests itself and I respond, I usually respond on the level of about an 8-year-old. And some of y'all are giggling because you do it too. And you're real quick to realize and be like, why am I such an idiot? Why? And so this is a serious weakness in our life. Guys, ladies, anger, it has the potential to destroy your life. It has the potential to destroy your family. It has the potential to destroy your relationships. Some of you, you know what you're like? You don't know it, but you're like I've been sometimes. You're like a pop can that somebody's just shaking up. And then I put my hand on the tab and I start to crack a little. You know that feeling that, that's the way people feel around you. And not just people, but the people you love the most. Do they feel like they gotta walk on eggshells? Do they never know what you're gonna say? Do they never know what you're going to do? Because you don't know what you're gonna say or what you're gonna do either, and you feel like you're completely out of control. So the question is, how do we handle this anger? What do we do? Proverbs 29:11 gives us the insight, and he starts by telling us what the fool would do. Fools give vent to their rage. They give full vent to their rage. In other words, they let it all come out. They open the vent all the way, baby. Let's just unload that on whoever happens to be around at the time, whether they had anything to do with it or not. We're gonna give it full vent. A fool lets anger control them. They lash out, they say hurtful things, they act impulsively. They do stuff like punch cheeseburgers. Foolish. So that's the foolish response. But what does it mean to be foolproof when it comes to anger? What does it mean to be wise when it comes to handling anger? He goes on and he says, but the wise bring calm in the end. The wise, they bring calm. See, a wise person, they can calm the rage. They can remain calm in the midst of the rage. The wise person, they don't allow anger to control them. They control their anger. How? Because they seek to understand it. You gotta seek to understand this thing, this anger. See, so many of us, we just like to push it back down. We like to like not get involved with all that stuff that's buried way, way, way down there because, you know, we're probably gonna get into some things and, you know, we're gonna be like the stereotypical, like, yeah, you know, what'd your mommy and daddy do to you that screwed you up? And we're gonna be talking about our childhood laying on some couch somewhere, you know? Like, that's where we go with it. But I'm telling you, if you ever want to be able to handle it, if you ever want to be able to have a sense of control, even amidst the chaos of the rage and the anger that's there within you, you're going to have to begin to make an effort to understand your anger and to control your anger, to create peace and calm in your life. See, there's good news today. The good news is, even though it may feel like you can't, indeed, you can choose calm in the midst of rage. You can do this. This can be done. Anger doesn't have to be your master. We all know this to be true. We've seen this happen at some point in our lives, right? You're in an argument with somebody, or you see somebody in an argument. They're going at it with each other. They're angry. And then all of a sudden, one of their phones rings. I mean, you can be like in the thick of it with your wife. She's just laying it, you know, laying it to you. Her phone rings and she's like, "Hey, this is Tiffany. How are you?" Right? Fellas, we do the same thing. Because the person calling you doesn't deserve your anger, right? They don't deserve the payback. And so intellectually, on some level, we make a decision. We choose to change how we're acting. Just like that. We just change. We change our tone. We change our aggression level. It can be done. You have the ability to choose your response rather than simply reacting. And here's how you can do that. Number one, get to know it. That's what I was talking about. Get to know your anger. Be like the wise person who seeks to understand their anger. Because you know what will happen as you begin to investigate that anger, what it is and why it's there and where it came from and how you can address it? You'll become more aware when that anger starts to pop up. You'll start to become more aware of it, and you'll become aware of it earlier. And that's great news, because if you want to change, all change begins with a change of awareness. And so all of a sudden, you're going to be able to become aware. Oh, this is rising up in me. This is what this feels like because I've gotten to know it. All right. Okay, here it comes. So now I can prepare myself a little bit for it. Now I can make a calculated decision of how I want to respond to this feeling that's rising up in me instead of just reacting, instead of just taking action without any level of thought and just bouncing around off the anger. Here's a great question we all need to wrestle with. Why am I angry? Why am I angry? When you're getting to know your anger, you need to find the answer to that question. Why are you angry? Who are you angry at? That's the real question. That's the real question. Who made you angry? Who made you angry? Because if you really want to just reduce anger down to like its simplest form, and you got at first you're gonna be like, no, that's not true. If you want to reduce it down, anger is simply a reaction that we have when we don't get something we want. It's a reaction we have when we don't get what we want. Someone didn't give you what you wanted, or someone stole from you what you wanted. Your dad, he left. He wasn't there when you were a kid. And he took from you part of your childhood. He took from you a life that you could have lived with a whole family, with everyone together. He took that. What you wanted was for your family to be together. But you didn't get what you wanted. And it made you angry. Who is it that's making you angry? That's made you angry? How far do we have to go back? Who is it that hurt you? Who is it that stole from you? Who is it that initiated the anger that you have allowed to take root and to be there for years and to year and for years and for it to shape your responses to people and your attitude toward people and your attitude toward life? What is it that they did? Because here's the deal. Many of us were walking through life as adults carrying anger and hurt from when we were children. I know it's cliche and I know it's not tough. And some of you guys are like, Austin's going soy boy on us. But it's the truth. It's the truth, guys. We, for some reason, men in particular, but women too, we have such a pride problem that oftentimes we're not willing to admit our real issues and go get the help that we need because it won't be cool or we'll look like an idiot or what would they say? How about this, guys? And I'm saying this to myself too. How about we grow up? How about we be grown men and grown women who take responsibility for what's going on within us and we figure out how to get some control? How about we do it for the sake of the ones we love the most? Maybe you don't have it within you to do it for you yet. But the ones whose lives stand in the balance. Here's a question. How long are you going to let the person that hurt you the most control your life? Doesn't make any sense, does it? The person or the people that hurt you the most, you're letting them sabotage your relationships right now. Because that anger, it's still there. It's still there. And part of it feels righteous, but part of it's gotten out of control. And it's affecting your relationships and your ability to live in harmony with the people around you, the people that love you the most and that you love the most. And if you ever want to calm the rage, if you ever want to get that anger under control, you have to do this. You have to forgive them. You have to forgive them. Austin, that's too simple, man. It may be simple, but it ain't easy. It may be simple, but it's deep. And it's profound, and it's difficult. Because some of you, it wasn't that daddy said he would be at your game, and he didn't show up that one time. Although that's a struggle as well. But for some of you, it's a person in your life that should have cared for you. There was supposed to be a person to protect you, and instead they hurt you. They hurt you in a deep and profound way. A way that in your infancy as a child, you didn't have the capacity emotionally to understand and to really feel what was going on. And so something sparked in you back then. And it sparked in you to protect you. So that anger's got good intentions. But now you've carried that and you've placed it on all the men that you've encountered in your life, or all the women you've encountered in your life, or your spouse. And it's destroying your relationships. How long are you gonna let probably a person you like the least and the person that's hurt you or the people that have hurt you the most, how long are you gonna let them continue to have control of your life? I say, no more. I say, let's end it today, man. Let's let it go. How do you forgive them? Number one, you gotta identify who hurt you. Identify who it is. Some of you might need to make a list. might be a bunch of people. And then this is very important. Determine what they owe you. Determine what they owe you and be specific. Be specific about what they owe you. Dad left when you were young. He owes me my childhood. He owes me a proper childhood. He robbed that from me. He robbed me being in a two-parent home, experiencing that, having the joy of that. He robbed me of some of my sleep because I thought he left because of me. He robbed me of that. He owes me that. Be specific, because general forgiveness doesn't heal specific hurt. That's the reason we can be like, yeah, I forgave that person. I forgave him. Yeah, I mean, yeah, like up here, like, yeah. No, I'm not worried about that. Get specific about what they owe you. Maybe they owe you the best years of your life back. Maybe it's that promotion. Maybe they even said you were going to get it. You were in line, but you didn't get what you want, and now you're angry. Maybe they owe you an apology. Whatever it is, determine what they owe you. And then number three, cancel the debt. They owe you something, right? Cancel it. That's what forgiveness means. It means to forgive a debt, to let it go. Paul said it like this. He said, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. So in case you didn't get it, all of it, all forms of it. Instead, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Listen, man, forgive them. Cancel the debt. God canceled your debt. God canceled my debt when he forgave you and when he forgave me. And you have to cancel their debt. Some people like to write a letter, and they list the person. They can list what all the person owes them. And then to symbolically say the debt is canceled, they put it in an envelope, take it outside, and watch it burn. I don't know what your thing is, but write it down. Get specific. Maybe it's simply just a quiet whisper in your mind to say, this debt is forgiven. But take some time, get in a space, and identify who it is that's hurt you. Get specific about what they owe you. And then cancel the debt, just as God has canceled your debt and my debt. And then dismiss the case. Case dismissed. No more. We're not gonna think about it anymore. We're not gonna talk about it anymore. And the reason we gotta dismiss the case is because our feelings don't immediately follow our decisions, do they? Feelings are tricky, feelings are tough. So we may make a decision to forgive and to release the debt. Then we find ourselves in a situation and something kind of triggers some of those feelings and they start to come back up. And that's when, because we're more in tune with our anger, we're more aware of what it is, we begin to notice it creeping back up. And then we get to say to it, nah, that case is closed. That case is closed. We're no longer allowing that person to control our life or our feelings. We canceled that debt. We closed that case. If you want to be able to handle it, if you want to get it under control, you got to get to know it. And then finally, ask for God's help. Ask for God's help. The language in Proverbs there that says the wise brings calm, it carries the idea of calming a storm. And if you think about it, anger and being angry and living a life as an angry person, it's a lot like a storm that just rages inside of you, isn't it? A darkness begins to billow up. It begins to get out of control. starts causing damage. You feel like you can't do anything about it. But once upon a time, there were a group of disciples out on a boat with Jesus. Jesus is taking a nap and a storm pops up. And that little boat starts getting tossed around back and forth. The waves are beating against it. It's dark. It's lightning. Water's coming on board. You're taking on water. And maybe as you wrestle with your anger, you feel like that little boat, that little ship just getting tossed around, ping pong, back and forth. And it's a whirlwind that takes place within you. You don't know how to stop it. You don't know how to get control of it. So the disciples, in the midst of that storm, woke Jesus up. And Jesus walks outside and says, "Peace, be still." And the storm's calmed immediately. See, there's one who's in the business of calming storms. And his name is Jesus. And just like he calmed that storm for them that day, he can calm the storm that rages inside of you and inside of me. Ask him to help. Ask him to calm you. To meet the darkness head on and destroy it. Yes, do your part. Just pray about it and it'll all be fine. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is you need to do your part, but equally as important, if not more so, is asking God to do his. We need both, not one or the other. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your love for us. God, thank you for this wisdom on how to deal with our anger. And Lord, I just pray that for all of us in this room, for anyone who is watching online or at a campus, who struggles in this area, Lord, I pray that they would reach out to you today and ask you to help. Ask you to calm that storm within them. I pray that they would take it seriously because of what it can do to their life and the life of the people that they love. And God, I pray that we would all move forward together with a handle on our anger and how we respond when we feel it. In Jesus' name, amen.